asked you, how do you experience Easter in your life today? I wonder how you would answer. Do you ever give much thought? Do we ever give much thought to this all-important question? How do we enter into the mystery of the death and resurrection of Jesus right here and now in our everyday lives? Well, our three readings today tell us something about the resurrection experience of some of those early Christians, whether it's those fearful disciples in the upper room, or doubting Thomas, or that early Christian community that we heard about in the first reading, as they come together to pray, to share the Eucharist, and to see to the needs of the weaker members of the community. That passage is really one of my favorites from the Acts of the Apostles. It tells us something that should be taken for granted in our own Christian lives, and that is that our prayer and worship cannot be separated from our life together in Christian community and what it is an essential part of that life, caring for one another, especially those in need. But today I'd like to look more closely at the gospel passage. Picture the scene as John the Evangelist tells the story. The disciples are locked in because they're afraid. They're discouraged, despairing, ready to cut and run when the coast is clear, like those two on the road to Emmaus. Suddenly, Jesus is in their midst. What must have been their immediate reaction? More fear at what might have been a ghost, consternation at suddenly being confronted by someone they were sure was dead, shame when they recalled that they had deserted him just at the moment when he needed them the most. Think of Peter, recalling his denial, recalling the look in Jesus' eyes as he passed by in the courtyard of the high priest, just as Peter was swearing he did not know him. But what is the first thing Jesus says to them? Peace. Peace. It's all right. Don't be afraid. The presence of the risen Jesus brings peace in the midst of turmoil, of confusion, of despair, and of fear. Then he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And he breathes on them like God the Father breathing on Adam at the dawn of creation. They are the new Adam, the new creation, as the first witnesses to the world of who he is and what he came to do. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. It's a missioning. He missions them to the same mission the Father had given him. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. What is the mission? It's reconciliation. It's forgiveness. I can't imagine there is anything that they are not to forgive. And that, of course, was the mission of Jesus, to bring the love, compassion, forgiveness of a good and gracious God to our world. And in that way, effect the salvation of the world. Jesus did that in his life, death, and resurrection. Disciples, in a sense, experienced their own death and resurrection, the death of despair, and then the life that Jesus gave them with the Spirit. And they now bring that life to others. We see them doing it symbolically in the Acts of the Apostles as they bring healing and wholeness to sick and hurting people. But there's more to the gospel passage. There's the story of doubting Thomas. Thomas, I think, is perhaps one of those characters in John's gospel who stands as a representative of other people, a representative perhaps of all of those who have doubts and difficulties. even those who have already committed themselves to follow Jesus, but still at times in their lives have problems. Thomas was not there. He would not believe unless he could see and touch the wounds of Jesus. And then the story tells us Jesus is there. Once again, he says, "Peace." It's the third time in just a few verses of the scripture. And once again, there's consternation, but this time in only one person, Thomas. Jesus calls him forward and tells him, "Put your finger in the wounds in my hand. Place your hand in my side." And just as wonderful is the meaning behind it all. Thomas cannot really experience the resurrection of Jesus until he has literally entered into the wounds of Jesus. And I think that that one brief but powerful scene tells us much about how we too experience the Paschal mystery. It tells as much as anything else in the Gospels or the letters of Paul. Dear friends, we are the body of Christ. And that body is still wounded, is still suffering, and is still dying. And it's only by entering willingly into that same suffering, that same woundedness, that same dying, that we also enter into the mystery of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Another way of putting it, perhaps, is simply by saying we accept fully who it is that God has meant us to be, loving, compassionate, understanding human beings. During these past months, perhaps some of us, many of us, have felt like those disciples gathered in the upper room, perhaps disillusioned, discouraged, fearful because of many terrible things that are going on in our world, wars that do not seem to want to end, terrorism, perhaps even the death of a loved one in our family or among our friends. This year, some of us perhaps have had a more than usually vivid experience of the dying part of the Paschal mystery. But now we're celebrating the rising part. First of all, the resurrection of Jesus, the pledge and promise of our own resurrection. As we gather here in prayer and worship, listening to ancient stories of the presence of the risen Lord, we pray that we too, like those disciples, may be filled with hope in the knowledge that in spite of everything, God loves us and God is still with us. That we too, like doubting Thomas, may be able to enter into the hurts and wounds of the body of Christ today and to say, "My Lord and my God." And like those early Christians we heard about in the first reading, go forth from this place filled with the love of God to share, willing to share that love wherever we are and with whomever we meet. And that's when we will really experience the resurrection of Jesus.